Good day, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to the SSR2 plenary number 113 on the 10th of June, 2020 at 1400 UTC. Attending the call today, we have Kaveh, Denko, Russ, Ramakrishna, Lauren, Norm, Brianne, Matagoro, and observer Dennis Tan. This right now. We do have apologies from Eric and Boban, attending from ICANN.org, Jennifer, Steve, and Brenda, technical writer Heather. And today's meeting is being recorded. Please state your name before speaking for the record. And Russ, I'll turn the meeting over to you. Thank you.
Yes, we also saw apologies from Denise.
Okay, I
noticed that Alon is not here. Oh, sorry, we need to do the second agenda item before we do the third. So, Jennifer, could you tell us when we expect to see answers to the outstanding questions?
Sure, thank you, Russ. So, I sent some questions and answers to the list my time yesterday, so hopefully you've all received those. There's a second batch of questions, the outstanding answers we expect to get to the team in the coming weeks, being cognizant of the deadlines that the team has. Just to note that a lot of the questions require multiple functions to input, so just we hope you understand it just takes a bit of time to coordinate the responses. I did have a specific comment on a question that Casey asked last time about DAR. I see that she's not yet on the call, but Casey had asked for some more information about the work that is underway with regard to DAR and how ICANN is measuring its effectiveness. So Steve and his team, and Steve, jump in if you like, but we'd suggest that discussion is best to take place on a call. And I know that Casey had asked for some written information just to point back to, but we can always record the call and post the transcript and everything to the wiki so that serves as a an archive. But I can put that in an email as well, since I see Casey again is not on the call. But that's where we are with the questions. And happy to answer any other questions that you guys have. Thank you.
This is Steve. Just to follow that up a little bit, we're also my team's looking for relevant documentation or postings that we've already published to help set that stage, and then hoping for that dialogue that Jennifer said that, you know, we can record in transcript to offset or enhance that information.
All right. Thank you, Steve and Jennifer. Any follow-up questions from the team? Okay, let's turn to the topic three. So Alon had the action coming out of the call last week to put the public response things into the spreadsheet. He was going to talk about them today. I see he's not here. So we'll move on to the privacy grouping of subteams. Carrie Ann, I think you sent an email to everybody with some responses. Can you walk us through that?
I'm on the phone. I don't know if Brenda or Jennifer could put it on the screen, but the short answer.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
We can hear you and someone else too.
Yeah, she's always screaming. I put her to do some work, but once you walk away, it's sad that you bribe your kid with lots of snacks and you have a work to call. Just to keep her mouth occupied. With that said, what I did is I went through all the privacy questions that they had. A lot of it was about, should ICANN, the reference I had used in the justification, the findings, was related to a blog that ICANN had. But there's not much online about how ICANN treats with data protection, except for a page that speaks to data privacy and policy, and then a general page on privacy, which is a part of their website only. So in general, I think the concerns persons had was ensuring that the text did not try to make ICANN's obligation related to handling data privacy on the internet at large, but only the data that they have in their possession. So I think in terms of what is actually stored and cared for at ICANN, I tried to change the language to make it more specific about data within their control. Whether that includes registrar, registry data is one thing, whether that's responsible to ICANN or the registrars themselves for the registrant's data, but ICANN still has sight of that data. So I tried to make it just broad enough that what we're asking for as a team is that ICANN has a specific, not just within legal, but a specific team that monitors data protection and privacy changes. Hold on 1 second. I'm back. That ICANN just establishes something that's very specific to be able to monitor the changing, because I think GDPR is one thing, but I think in the privacy realm, it's evolving, because as persons start to understand what their role is as a data controller, what's happening with the EU and China and the US relationship, I think data is going to change again soon. And I think ICANN as an organization should still have a specific unit dealing with it. So I did not remove that recommendation for a specific group dedicated to monitoring privacy issues generally. Whether or not the registrars are in charge of the registrant's info or not, ICANN still has sight of all of this data at some point or the other. So the changes I've made was just to take out the reference that was problematic and to keep the recommendation that was in. And then I provided response in red in the table as to the action we took. So if anyone has any questions, just let me know.
Carrie Ann, this is Jennifer. What is the document that we should be pointing the review team members to where you made the changes?
Well, I made the changes in the link that Russ had, the last link that was sent as the master document. Russ had sent a email with a Google Doc.
Okay.
So I made the changes in that document and included the link in the email I sent. And because I didn't want to mess with the table, I copy pasted the sections related to privacy and put that in the body of the email instead of in the Google Docs that it's monitoring the comments, because I didn't know how that was being managed.
Okay, thank you. I can get that link.
So in the email I sent, it has the comments that's all related to privacy, and the in red I had put the changes in the email, but I didn't try to include it in the Google Docs, Jen, because it was it was getting a little bit weird. So I just decided to just put it in the text, and whoever is the kind of master or controller for that document, I made sure that you
that's
could see.
Heather.
Yeah, I made it. I put it in the email in red so you could include it. But I had done the changes directly in the Google Doc link that Russ had sent the last time.
So, Jennifer, the email you're looking for has a subject of some team space privacy.
Yeah, I think I see Carrie Ann's changes. I posted the link into the chat there, and I believe it's page 59.
It sounds like there's changes. This is Heather. It sounds like there's changes in two places, both in the doc and in the email. What some changes, other teams have done.
No, the changes, there are always going to be two places, but one's in this doc, mm-hmm. and she put it into the sub team one doc.
Okay.
And then there's the table to deal with the public comment response. And that's what she included in her email instead of editing the table.
Thanks, Russ.
Okay. I hope that helped everybody find it. Okay, I see it's up on the screen, and we're looking at recommendation, the changes to the recommendation 29 is what's on the screen.
And I think you explained what you did there, and that made sense. The privacy and SSR measures.
The one thing I didn't explain, there was one that was really problematic for all the groups that commented on it, which was related to DNS. So I deleted that recommendation altogether because it doesn't add value to the privacy component of it. And I didn't want, when the document goes out and it's finally published, that person's kind of hone in to just that first section and ignore the other recommendations in that section that's more specific related to privacy. So if everybody's okay with deleting it, because it didn't add value, didn't take away value by it not being there. So the first one that was there, I deleted it altogether. And then just continued with, because once we have a unit that's focused on it, it will cover all the relevant data that should be under ICANN's purview.
So it was really a, trying to find the text that where you deleted it.
It's 29.2. Okay. It had a text that said that that had like a conclusion rather than just a specific recommendation. So I just went directly to incorporating safe management of protection and collection of data generally instead of specifying DNS and fragmentation. I think Pearson's had a lot of issue with why is this under our purview when you have other groups that deals with DNS specifically. So I just deleted that context because the fragmentation was proven very problematic. So I just took it out.
Thank you. Now I understand. I was looking for another recommendation, and what you meant was a subpart of this.
No, it was in 29.2.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You also deleted 29.4, right?
Jennifer, you could scroll down. I think I did. Let me see.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Because it had a similar issue. Most persons had it, and it didn't add value to the point we were trying to get to. So I removed it as well.
Okay.
Like there's the ones that I think that we could have conceded to. I mean, it doesn't take away from the essence of what we're trying to recommend.
Okay. Can we turn to the table that was in her email then? Where she recommends the responses to the public comments.
And I think I'll have to share my screen to do that because it's in the email rather than the table. So I can do that if you give me, I think I have permission. Hold on one second.
There you go. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's up. Go ahead, Carrie.
Yeah, so what I did is this text that was recommended that we could just use directly as a response. So I explained in the second one that pretty much they were trying to say that it's something that we should not include because they think it's something that I guess is done or addressed already. But I try to explain and give justification that for us, it's more that data is not something that's going away anytime soon. And while we can't say what ICANN's configuration is now, it's going to be something that's going to be an issue in the future. So actually putting in measures now to handle it becomes an automatic security concern because if the data is breached, that's when security comes in. So you can't exclude data from security. But they're trying to say that privacy is not a SSR2 consideration, really. But you can't exclude the two. They're interrelated while not completely dependent, they're interrelated. So I tried putting an explanation based on that the relationship between a chief data officer and a CISO, which we've recommended, how critical it is. Is there any questions on that one? This is text I think that we could actually put in, and that's why I correlated it to recommendation 6.
Yeah, we may want to include some of this in the findings related to recommendation 6.
I don't know who has pen for recommendation 6. I can't. I think it's our group as well, right? The compliance group.
I think it is.
Yes.
It is.
Okay, so we could probably, we'll do that then. But we just probably tell us exactly where, but I think it would go, it would be good to help explain our thinking as well for the public response.
Yep.
Yes. Just to confirm, recommendation 6 is risk following the CISO, CSO position. Oh, sorry. It is. No,
it's the creation of the CSO position.
Yes.
Right.
Apologies. So, Carrie-Anne, that's actually yours. So you can like, literally do whatever.
All right, but Russ, probably tell me exactly, probably when you kind of get time to look at it, tell us probably what aspect of it we should incorporate. We made amendments to that section as well, which Lauren will talk about. So I think probably when we get there, we could probably see what from this we would want to incorporate.
Just the interdependency between privacy and security, that part was what I was talking about.
Okay. Jen, you could probably put that as an action for me that once we kind of have a wider group acceptance of the proposed changes that Lauren is going to present, I could then do a further amendment to it.
Okay, thank you.
If there's no other questions, I mean, that's it for me. The other aspects are really very short of comments because I incorporated or deleted based on what their issues were.
Right.
So if you're okay with it, then I guess Heather could copy the response here into the master document, if that's all right.
Of course.
Great. Okay. Are there any questions or clarifications from the team for the output of the privacy subteam? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the next one, which I think is Lauren and the risk subteam.
Yes, I believe so. So if we could put up the document that I said is the clean version / the easy read, because the other one is so full of markup. It's hard to see what's going on.
Okay, give me one moment, please.
Yes. So while that's coming up, so just give you a quick summary. Essentially, we made quite a few changes to structure, change the order of recommendations around in the hopes that we're creating a clearer narrative and a clearer logical flow for what we're trying to say and how these things are, you know, relating to each other, are interdependent. Brenda, I see you are in the right document. Yeah, essentially what you can see now in the like easy read is what we came up with. This is already in the new structure that we decided we want to adopt because of the changes we thought were necessary. It wouldn't have made sense to not edit this. So essentially the whole section is now the key stability issues within ICANN. It starts with a larger kind of analysis of the situation. We then speak about the C-suite security position, which has various edits. So if you go to the other document that was in the email, you can see specifically what we have done. And it was quite a lot. We do not think that the kind of direction of our recommendations have changed. We mainly try to clarify. So essentially we're talking about creating the position of someone who is at executive level, who will take care of security, followed by risk and security management, which was recommendation 7. So you can see we still have the old numbering in there so that it doesn't get completely confusing. we clarified that one. Following general risk management, we go into information security management systems and certifications, followed by what was SSR2 recommendation 3, still titled as such, about best practices and outreach, to then have another kind of big section on business continuity and disaster recovery, where we have axed number 9 and included 8 and 9 into one. This was one of the requests and one that we think made sense. There were additional requests to merge, for example, when it comes to risk management, the ISMS. So one comment, for example, was, oh, if they do, you know, compliance with, I can't remember what the exact relationship was because all of this is interdependent. So you could just not have this recommendation, but we chose to essentially keep the narrative going and kind of go from, okay, have someone in charge, they do the risk, they do the security management part. Then because of ICANN's kind of special situation, there is something about to be said about transparency and disclosure, to then go into business continuity and disaster recovery, which we said, yes, this makes sense to have as one because they are so strongly coupled. I know this is a lot of text. I think it's like 9 pages. So definitely just put in your comments later on, and happy to answer all the questions. I think apart from Carrie-Anne and myself, I'm not sure if anyone from the team is on the call, at least during the roll call. There wasn't, I believe. So, oh no, Norm has arrived. Okay. So we have 3 people who were involved in this and hopefully can answer all the questions.
So I read it before, you know, you sent the link. So, and I thought it was really good. It's very clear that within the team, you've already made an editing pass at least once. I do think the interdependency between security and privacy should probably come in the discussion before recommendation 6, somewhere around page 29. That's my suggestion. But other than that, I thought it looked really, really good.
Lauren, can you put just a comment, probably where Ross is thinking, and at least that'll be a space holder for me?
Yes, so I'll put it in our working doc, one that doesn't have all the changes accepted, just so you know where it is.
Oh, that's the one I was looking at. So yeah, I'm sure the page number the doesn't version. Line up. Sorry.
Yeah, I realized this one was, again, so messy. That someone who wants to have a quick read would struggle. That's why I provided 2 versions.
I understand, but I was more interested in what's changed. Anyone else?
This is Norm. Sorry, losing my voice. Just a quick thing. This is part of the discussion we had within the sub team. In 7.1, it has adopt and implement ISO 31000, and then it says validate and certify. You can't certify that one. The risk management ISO standard. There's no certification for that. So we just need to take.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, just again validate. Did we? Don't need to certify. Just let me go with that comment. I'll take it out now.
Yeah.
So are
Didn't
you
see that when I added
you can
that? Sorry.
Validate, but you can't certify.
Well, you can validate, you can't certify it. There's no certification for risk management. Okay.
Thank you.
That's correct. We discussed this on call.
Intercomments and discussion. That was a lot of the confusion. Was what can be certified and what is best practice, basically.
Thanks for catching that.
Yes, Steve has his hand raised.
Oh, sorry, I'm not looking at that screen. Go, Steve.
Thanks, Russ, and no problem. Just looking at this with fresher eyes than I've looked at it in the past or looked at it recently. So something that's catching me right now is that the recommendation is not only creating or asking to create a new position, but in essence is creating an office. And you reference Octo as doing some things, and that is more than just David Conrad. It's an office of 21 people now. In that, I'd like to, I don't even know if it's recommend, but at least note that if it is indeed an office being created, it should reflect that. And although not asking to give a specific number, I would recommend also putting that office should have a budget that's relevant to complete its mission, whatever that budget is, but just acknowledge that this isn't just a cost of hiring somebody. This is a cost of hiring somebody at an exec level, creating an office, and that's inheriting some of the pieces that are already there, but also probably expanding on that, plus having enough budget to do the mission itself. So I don't know if, and Lauren, I apologize if it's not called out as explicitly as that, or if it is called out as explicitly as that, but it's just something that I'm noticing right now. Thank you.
Hi, Sue. Yes, thank you so much for that. And so there is a recommendation on budget, which should be in that section. But that was not this group of people. So that one is not in there yet. And I will make a note to make this. I think in our discussions, Carrie-Anne and Norm, correct me if I'm wrong, our idea is mainly about where this function and this position sits, rather than kind of who is involved. So for us, the importance is, okay, it should not be somewhere under, it should be the person responsible should have a seat at the table. And then obviously have some structure below, and we should probably also clarify that a lot of this already exists, but just would have to kind of be retooled slightly. I will definitely put this in. We'll discuss this on call. Thank you. That's a really good point.
So, Lauren, I think the budget recommendation is about transparency and being able to tell which items in the budget are SSR related. So I don't think that is the kind of budget Steve was just talking about, which is make sure the CSO has an adequate budget to do their job.
Yes, I just want to say, like, there is something on budgets which we didn't work on. That's why we didn't touch on it. And my feeling is it would mainly be a kind of redistribution of funds. But as I said, this is probably something we should discuss in more detail in the subteam and probably rub in the people from recommendation 4, which is the talk about budget, which is true. It's mainly transparency.
That's my point, is I think there are two different aspects of budget. Okay, so Lauren, you've gotten a little bit of feedback. What is the plan? And have you yet done the responses to the public comments?
I did not understand the last one of the public comment.
There's a column that in the table of where the public comments, where we're going to put a response. Have you filled that out? Has the team gotten to that yet?
We have we copied it out so we can kind of play around with it. It's in a Google Doc. I believe it's also in the email I sent. It is mostly done might need some language edits, but we made sure that for each comment there is an action, sometimes a general action, and a response. Sometimes it just says see action, because it just the action contains our response. But yes, this is done, and as you can see, we have a table which definitely needs some work in the document as well, which links to the kind of big question of kind of why and the SMART criteria. We also have a general one, but again, it seemed more appropriate to not kind of write into that right away. So if someone has anything on that, please let us know as well.
I, for some reason, I only opened the first two links about the third one. I see it's there. Is there anything you want to highlight at that table? Like, why is one of them orange?
I think that was a board comment, and we made that one orange to make sure we look at that in detail. There's also one from ICANN.org down this yellow. It's just for us. That okay. There is no other reason than to highlight them.
You weren't trying to draw the team's attention to something.
No.
Heather, do you think this table gives you what you need to pull into the table, your table?
So many tables.
But one of them
it sounds like I hold the pen on most of them, so I'm not actually sure which table you're talking about.
Okay. In Lauren's email.
Mm-hmm. Which I haven't had a chance to look at yet. Came in yesterday.
It did, but the third link, which takes forever to open, I have no idea why.
The one that says all our comments and actions?
Yes.
Okay.
So we'll wait 2 minutes for it to open for you.
Oh, popped open right quick for me.
Okay. If you would, because they didn't, the response and the action are kind of different, I think, than you intended. That's why I'm asking.
Yep, I could probably.
I can work with this, and if I have questions, I'll ask.
Okay. And just so you know, the actions, just one quick thing, though. When, Heather, when you look at the actions was really to get consensus for a sub-team. So each of us had kind of just explained our thinking to the sub-team in the actions part. Mm-hmm. But the response is actually what we're proposing to go in the public comment document, not the action table, the action column. The action column is really just our logic thinking for internal discussions within the team.
Okay.
And the response is what is for the public facing aspect of it, that we recommend that text could be used for putting into the public comment document that's publicly available.
Okay.
But the action shouldn't be in anything that's, it's really just our blah, blah thinking. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay. Having seen this, is there, what's next for this team? Are you thinking you're done and it's now over to, other than adding that one paragraph about the security and privacy part near page 29?
I think that's one, yes. And the other one would be to address kind of Steve's comment on the budgeting. We definitely have to kind of pull in the recommendation number 4 on the budget transparency, because that might need to have a bit of a rework and be included here as well. So then, because this part is truly missing in the narrative that we tried to create, and Steve was very right to pick up on that. So I think that's the other one we need to discuss. And rope in the team that has been doing number 4.
Okay. Do you think you'd be able to report that out next week?
We can try.
Very good. Okay. The next agenda item is the abuse subteam, which since Denise is not here, I think, Lauren, you're pinch hitting.
Yes, okay. I was prepped for the other one. For this, I have to open the document. So essentially, abuse is moving, but it is moving more slowly, as I always say. Still looking for Denise's email that contained the table we're looking at. Oh dear. I think this is this one. We just have too many documents. Okay, so essentially, we were looking at recommendations 10 and 11. These are kind of, we haven't done the red lines on those, even though in the table there is some text examples. Could we open that one? Because I think that would help.
We're not sure what table we're looking at now, Lauren.
Yeah. I'm also having trouble to locate this one in my, like, I have it. God. Carrie-Anne, do you know where Denise sent it to or when?
She sent it last night. Let me forward it to who's the easiest person to forward it.
You can send it to me or Brenda or both. Or the whole team.
Yeah.
If there's a message.
All right, I'll forward it now.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll just talk through it. So essentially, this is, we have kind of a summary now for kind of what's going on. Again, these are so many comments that while we will do the same as the risk team, as in go through one by one and create a response to kind of show our, that we try to really address what's going on and also show our diligence here. We can say that for 10, which is the framework to define and measure registrar and registry compliance, we got support broadly from GAC, BC, FIRST, and IPC, again, broadly with NCSG, the registries, registrars. I think it should go through PDP and SAG agrees with the intent, and there are like various more specific questions here as well. So
just a quick one. I just sent it, but the Denise's email just had one link, which was just our assignment, how we broke up the team. So it would just give you guys just a general update from how she had summarized it on our program in terms of how we're approaching it.
Yeah. Essentially, what we're thinking about here, we're considering to merge this with recommendations 17 and 18. We kind of do not want to kind of end up with the position where kind of nothing is kind of strong enough and no one is empowered to do anything, right? So where it's like a kind of eternal stalemate, if you want. We want to think about who should establish the performance metrics for this recommendation, and to think about how abuse can be appropriately incorporated in relevant negotiations. So we're planning to do the red line. I think we set on call within the next week, and we have one scheduled for next week with recommendation 11. We have concerns expressed that there's an overlap with existing work, which I think is something that happens a lot with this review in general. There's a variety of clarification questions for that one. some of the board comments on this one relate to some of the relevant stuff being out of scope potentially. This is, by the way, the commitments and abuse definitions. So here we're thinking about condensing the recommendation kind of trying to make it more applicable and to allow for this to kind of go ahead work it slightly differently. Recommendation 12, again, it's a question of how this will be scoped. Support comes from various parties, others are not supportive. So we also always with abuse kind of have some constituencies being very happy and some not being so happy. For this one, we're still kind of, Carrie-Anne, go ahead. Okay, for that one, we're trying to go ahead again, rephrase this, because this essentially touches on who is data. I'll just stick with who is. I know names are changing. Essentially, the question here is about, okay, we're talking about something that already has an EPDP attached to it. On the other hand, there is a clear relevance of this to security and abuse. So again, we're thinking about how can we address the comments and make sure that this shows what we're thinking, but it's not causing some trouble in terms of implementation. Number 13, this is about DAR. We're considering to merge 13 and 14. 14 is about quantitative analysis of what's going on regarding abuse. Quite a few community groups talk about improving DAR I think this one we're mainly talking about language changes more than anything else. So 14 is on the enabling rigorous quantitative analysis. This one I think will just fold into 13 and 14 into one where it's about, okay, going forward, certain data should be shared and should be kind of required to be shared, but not like any immediate changes right now. 15 and 16 are both about contracts, you know, the kind of mitigation to DNS abuse contract changes. Here we're also thinking about doing a merger of 15 and 16. We would like to kind of, again, as before, kind of ask the CCTLDs if they have an interest to also join. Like 16, we believe will be folding in with 15. And here we have to clarify the text. Unilateral contract changes are obviously not something we're recommending. So we have to clarify this. 17, this is the Central Abuse Report Portal. And we're considering to merge this with 18. We'll kind of develop this probably in the direction of this being more operational. There was one note on abuse emails being required, which is true. So we'll think about if there's a way to kind of implement this part of the recommendation in a way that kind of works with what is currently in place. Where was I? Oh, okay. 18 was about kind of how to organize compliance, function differently. This is mainly about providing a better, kind of siloing off the compliance function that we discussed many times. And we were thinking about merging this with like 17 and 10 under a new heading that's called compliance. And then 19, which is on kind of misleading naming, abusive naming, whatever. So here we are also considering the merge into another recommendation, which is 11 in this case, to essentially deal with this. So again, we have an insane amount of comments. I say this every time. So this is 164 comments in this table right now. So these were very general actions, and it is just taking a while to go through this one by one. And Casey on the call yesterday, for example, mentioned, okay, I looked at them, I wrote down comments, but a lot of it needs discussion. A lot of that we need to clarify on call. So it's steady, but slow, essentially. Risk had far fewer comments, so I think we could push that along better. Okay, hope that was at least somewhat helpful. No text yet, unfortunately.
I'm not surprised that the part where that abuse is the part of the report that got the high volume of comments. I don't think anyone is. So what, are there any concerns with the approach that this subteam is taking? Well, that's good to hear, but I think we're going to have the text before we can do a thorough review. I think the... are there any sub-teams that are ready to report out that did not send me email in advance to get on the agenda? Okay. So I think the actions for the team are to take a look at the risk that was only sent last night. So some of you, I'm sure, did not have a chance to read it in advance, so that we can raise any issues on that next time. So we will return to recommendation 27 on the next call. Privacy, I think we're done with, unless there's any comments because people didn't have a chance to read it. Risk, we'll revisit next week since the text was actually delivered so late, and hopefully abuse will be further along next time, and hopefully we'll have other teams to report out next week. Want to remind you about a note that was sent, I think, out on Monday, that we're looking for all of the sub teams to finish by 1 July. Last time, Casey had made the recommendation that a deadline be set, that any team that doesn't finish by that deadline, that we drop their recommendations. What we're going to do is a little less harsh. Any team that is not delivered by 1 July, we will have a whole team discussion about what the best thing to do is. But note that what that means is people who even volunteered to work on that topic are not finding the time to do so. So the call
around 1 July is where we will deal with any teams that have been unresponsive. Any questions about that? Okay. Is there any other business we need to talk about? Okay. Jennifer, is there anything to raise in the confirm actions other than what I just summarized?
No, Russ, I think you summarized it pretty well. And just to note, I took the specific action as well for Carrie Ann to make the updates to the recommendation 6 to include the privacy text. But other than that, you covered it. Thanks.
Okay, I think if you've got that specific, Lauren, adding adequate budget should also.
Okay, I'll note that too.
Okay. All right, then. We'll give you 5 minutes back. Thank you, and look forward to talking again next week.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everyone. Take care.